Live from the George Muggs Halas Auditorium inside Halas Hall, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of a live audience featuring our friends from the University of Phoenix and guests. Thank you so much for coming. You're in for a treat for the next hour because we're joined by starting defensive end Corey Wooten and the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Chicago Bears organization, the long snapper, Patrick Manley. Before we get to the state of the team and a potential new rule on special teams that could dramatically change the sport of football, let me ask you this question, because both of you play on special teams, and I'm trying to figure out, if you would have told me before the start of the regular season that the only two Bears special teamers that would hit the end zone by this point in the year would be the guy sitting next to me, Corey Wooten, and the punter, Adam Podlish, something's wrong with the Bears special teams, right?
Well, you might have just gave up our two returners for next week. So. I think Corey'd be pretty good back there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. You know, I got a couple moves. You know, hopefully it's not too far of a return.
You remember Corey's touchdown. Man, it was literally the Wildcat. You had Nick Roach, who kind of cleared a path for Sherrick McManus to block the punt in Tennessee. This guy picks up the ball, and he was not going to be denied.
No, I wasn't. You know, that was the first time I got the ball in my hand, so I knew I only had 5 yards to go. So
ever in the history of your NFL career?
Yeah.
First college?
I had a few interceptions, five in my career, but never.
Did you score?
No, I didn't score.
Okay. Did you score in high school at all?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Interception for every
All right, touchdown. So what's it like, man? Tell us, because I don't know what it's like. These people here don't know what it's like, and very few people listening across Chicagoland right now know what it's like. What's it like to have the ball in your hands and getting into the end zone and scoring an NFL touchdown?
You know, there's no feeling like that, you know, especially as a D lineman. There's not many chances you get to get a touchdown. So when I saw that ball in the air after Sherrick blocked it, I knew I just had to go up like basketball and grab it and, you know, get in the end zone any way I could.
I checked the record books, and technically – because your touchdown is considered a special teams touchdown, the last Bears defensive lineman to get into the end zone and score a touchdown, it happened in the game against Seattle last season, not this one. Israel Adonijé picked up a fumble inside the end zone. He scored a touchdown. So that doesn't count in Rod Marinelli's room.
No, it doesn't, unfortunately. So, you know, hopefully I can get another chance
it's
out
still
there.
Still 6 points.
Yeah, it is.
It goes 6 points on the scoreboard. That's all that matters.
That's true.
I've heard for the last few weeks, guys, Dave Tobe has talked about it, the special teams coordinator, Lovie Smith, has talked about it. The Bears over the last month, only averaging 14.5 points per game. You guys need to pick up the return game. How do you do it?
You know what? We're sitting here in the special teams room, and we're ranked sixth in the league right now in the overall special teams ranking. And we're doing it by just kind of doing what we do as far as who our personnel is. We're playing okay. We're not playing up to, I think, our potential. And what I mean by that is our potential here. What we've done in the past on special teams is make big plays, make differences in the game. And that's one thing we really need to do. And we've got four more games to do that. And I expect us to bring something to the table for the team to make a difference in these next four games.
Patrick Manley and Corey Wooten, our guests here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, let's take a look overall at the team here. 8-4. If I'd have told you at the start of the season you'd be 8-4 at this point in the season, you'd take it. But the last month has been a little shaky, and now all these injuries have started to crop up. So give us a reason for optimism here.
The last Super Bowl champions have not gone 16-0, and that's been that way for probably the last 7 or 8 years. Every team in every year, they're going to go up and down. They're not going to, you know, win it all out. I mean, Green Bay went 15-1 and still lost the Super Bowl. So I don't think you want to go and run the table like that. You're going to have your ups and downs, but as long as you're playing your best football at the end of the year, I think that's what your goal is. You know, early in the year, you stack the wins to put yourself in position for this month to put yourself into better position in the playoff seedings, and hopefully we can do that and get ourselves playing to what our potential and who we are, who I think we are, kind of the way we started at the very beginning of the year. And I think these next four games are going to say a lot for us.
And it all starts up front. You heard Lovie Smith. He was not happy with both lines after the game against Seattle. You play on that defensive line, and when the head coach isn't happy, you hear about it.
Oh, definitely. You know, we didn't play, you know, the way we were capable of up front. You know, contain issues was a big thing for us. You know, whenever a guy gets outside the pocket and scrambles, it makes it tougher on the back half. So we put that on ourselves and, you know, been working on that all week. And, you know, Christian Ponder's another mobile quarterback. So, you know, we have a challenge in that, but contain has been a must for us.
And it's the quarterbacks that are able to use their legs to buy time to throw the ball. Aaron Rodgers gave you guys fits with this earlier in the season. Kaepernick in San Francisco did the same thing. And obviously last week, Russell Wilson. What's the key to being able to contain the quarterback in a certain area? Is it discipline?
The biggest thing is, you know, coach says not to get too cautious when you rush. You know, when a lot of teams rush a mobile quarterback, they tend to not rush as hard as they normally do. But the biggest thing is 4 equals 1, what he always says, all of us to be on top of each other. You know, if somebody gets out of the gap, the other guy to overlap them. And, you know, stuff like that helps out when we rush.
You don't have Urlacher, at least this week, probably for a little bit now. Nick Roach in the middle. Give us an idea of what he's like, and give us an idea of how people might attack this defense differently. Or are they going to attack it the same because you still play the Bears scheme on defense?
You know, I think Nick's done a great job stepping in. You know, he stepped in for Brian in the past when he's gotten injured. But, you know, he's a great leader. He knows all the checks, knows all the calls. You know, so he's playing good football right now, too. And then we got a guy, Geno Hayes, coming in, who's been a starter in this league for Tampa for some years. So we got the experience in there, and, you know, we're just going to do the best we can.
Brandon Marshall. Now, I guess Patrick Manley can answer this because you've been here since George Halas coached the team. And, I mean, they've been looking for a long time for a premier wide receiver. This guy, you can make a – I mean, you look at the numbers. Only Calvin Johnson's got better numbers.
He's unbelievable. He's just everything about him, the way he works at practice, the way he's extremely professional, he's extremely competitive at practice. I've seen some other so-called stars come through here that don't work real hard at practice, but they go out and they play well on Sunday. But there's a reason why his play is so high. It's because he just works his tail off every day. And everything he's doing.
And you've got a quarterback over the last 2 weeks since Jay Cutler came back from that concussion. Man, has he been locked in.
Yeah, those two guys together, it's fun to watch. Like, they both work extremely hard, and they work hard together.
Now, I wish, and you guys don't play offense, but can someone explain to me why the other guys aren't involved? I mean, there's so much talent there.
That's what I think the next month we have left to do is we need to take the step, like you were talking about, getting to the next level offensively, and I think that this will be our opportunity to do that.
Patrick Manley is here. So is Corey Wooten. When we come back, did you hear what Commissioner Goodell had to say to Time Magazine? Oh, you're going to want to stick around. The game of football might change like you won't believe. So we'll discuss that next with Manley and Wooten. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority in front of our live audience here at Halas Hall from the University of Phoenix and Friends on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Inside the George Muggs Halas Auditorium, this is a live edition of Bears All Access featuring our friends from the University of Phoenix. Alongside the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Bears organization, Patrick Manley, and defensive end Corey Wooten. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, Patrick's given me a little bit of grief for not saying that earlier. But he's not like that. He's a captain.
But I was only kidding.
I know. But that's why I'm overdoing it. I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you with us. Time now to select our Gibson's Player of the Week, brought to you by Gibson's Bar and Steakhouse. You guys are going to like this. The player you guys select is going to get a $500 gift card to Gibson's. But for helping pick that player, both Patrick Manley and Corey Wooten get a $100 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. You've been here for a while. You know it's good food. So I need you guys to vote on the candidate. It's always tough after a loss, but there were some primetime performances by a few Bears. One of them, Brandon Marshall. The whole building knew he was getting the ball. The Seahawks knew he was getting the ball, and yet he still kept getting the ball, making some tough catches. Jay Cutler. Everyone knew that he was going to throw to Brandon Marshall, still managed to do it and get the completions. And Robbie Gould, I mean, crunch time, he knocked in that field goal to send it to overtime. So I will let you guys discuss. Don't take too long.
All three of those guys got too much money. We need to give it somebody else who doesn't, like a rookie that doesn't make a whole lot of money. That's a lot of money for a stake.
Well, they got to make plays, you
know? That's true.
I mean, it's as simple as that. So out of those three, who would you give it to?
I don't know. You make the call, Corey. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to say Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll go with Brandon.
Yeah, I think that's an easy choice.
And he's new to the city, and he needs to go out there and eat some more.
Yeah, I'm guessing. He is in great shape, though. So Brandon Marshall gets the $500 gift card to Gibson's. And for helping pick Brandon Marshall as the winner, Patrick Manley and Corey Wooten both get a $100 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. So you guys join him for the big feast. All right, did you hear what Commissioner Goodell, he is the Time Magazine Person of the Year. I don't know if you saw the cover, but he looks like a tough guy. Looks like an enforcer. He's wearing the fancy suit. You know, he's in good shape, too, for a commish. And he's holding a football. Got the hey, you can laugh at him. I can't. And he might fine you if he heard that. And,
that's true.
And so you have the grass in the background. He's holding the football, and he talked to Time Magazine about a variety of different issues. But one of the things he brought up, an idea that came from the new coach of the Buccaneers, Greg Schiano, who while he was the head coach at Rutgers, lost
one
defensive
backs coach here when I first got here.
Yeah, I mean, boy, you're old. Yeah, I mean, it's
keep driving that home.
Or classically mature. It's a different way of looking at it. But when Schiano was at Rutgers as the head coach of the Scarlet Knights, one of his players was paralyzed. Eric LeGrand, it's a story that a lot of people know of, on a kickoff play. And he has suggested, and the commissioner's thinking about this, eliminating kickoffs from the NFL. And instead of kickoffs, this is just one possibility, instead of kickoffs, you'd get the ball at your own 30. And it would be 4th and 15, so you'd either have a chance to go for it, as opposed to an onside kick, or punt. So conceivably, you could win the coin toss to start a game, get the ball at the 30, and punt to begin the game. You like this?
No, I'm not a big fan of that. I think the game of football has been the game of football for forever, and it's a. And I think Corey will be able to touch on this more because he's covered punt or covered kickoffs. I only really cover punts, but I think it's part of the game. I think what he's done, moving the ball to the 35, eliminating the four-man wedge, has made a big difference.
In terms of safety.
We're talking about safety, yeah. So I think that's made a big difference. But I'd like to hear Corey's perspective on what he thinks of it, because he's the one running down, you know, hitting people full speed and that kind of stuff.
Definitely. I agree with Pat. Kickoff has been, you know, a part of football since the beginnings of it. And to change that, I think they've done enough with changing, you know, the spot of where the kickoff is. I definitely you see – there's not as many injuries on kickoff anymore, and it definitely has been a lot better for the safety aspect. You know, I understand the little nuances in the safety aspect as far as, you know, helmet to helmet, things of that nature, but when you, you know, take off an integral part of the game, you know, special teams especially, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, another thing is that the coaches have changed too. I remember sitting in this room here before the four-man wedge, it was, okay, they're going to run the four-man wedge at the
two and explain to people what that is.
Four-man wedge is with the four guys basically right in front of the returner. It used to be four offensive or defensive linemen, big bodies, 300-pounders. They basically hold hands and road grade right, left, or middle.
You see there's not as many injuries on kickoff anymore, and it definitely has been a lot better for the safety aspect. You know, I understand the little nuances in the safety aspect as far as, you know, helmet to helmet, things of that nature, but when you, you know, take off an integral part of the game, you know, special teams especially, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, another thing is that the coaches have changed too. I remember sitting in this room here before the four-man wedge, it was, okay, they're going to run the four-man wedge at the two
and explain to people what that is.
Okay, four-man wedge is with the four guys basically right in front of the returner. It used to be four offensive or defensive linemen, big bodies, 300-pounders. They basically hold hands and road grade right, left, or middle, whichever way the kick return was going. And the coaches, it was taught to the kickoff team who was covering it, blow it up, which means run into it full speed and just, you know, have no regard for your body. Well, now it's a two-man wedge is the max you can do. But the coaches now, Dave Tobe doesn't coach go blow it up. He said beat it. And by beat it, you don't throw your body in it, turn your head sideways and take the, you know, the side shot on the head. It's more of a, you know, move your feet quick before the wedge and dive and split it. So you're not taking the, you know, say 600 pounds of force right on you. You're kind of get an edge or whatnot and be more athletic to beat it instead of blowing it up.
And for people that don't understand, usually when you think of football and you think of injuries, if you're just watching the game on the TV, you're thinking of a wide receiver going over the middle, a safety with a big hit, you know, quarterback taking a big shot. But usually, I mean, special teams is where it's nasty because you have a lot of guys at the back end of the roster trying to literally put food on the table, and you're going for it. You're not messing around.
Sure. But another thing is that the same collisions can happen on punt returns as well. I mean, there's times I've covered kicks and got de-cleated over my, you know, over through the sideline and stuff like that. So the collision's part of the game, and I understand what he's trying to do is clean it up and make it safer, but You go, keep going, if you don't mind if I keep going about it. Robbie, I think, tweeted or talked about it, maybe changing the scheme of just outlawing the wedge completely so there's no two-man wedge whatsoever.
Man-on-man.
Yeah, so it'd be man-on-man. We call it a big field return. Minnesota and Green Bay have run it, and they've done it well with Percy Harvin and Randall Cobb. And it's another way that, you know, coaches have to then would have to adapt to the new rules. And that would take away the big two-on-one collision. It would be more one-on-one, you know, beat the guy to an edge or, you know, just kind of butt him up one-on-one where it's not 600 pounds against 175 or 180-pound, you know, receiver coming down.
How has Devin Hester changed the game? Because you were around pre-Hester for a while, and the Bears had good returners back. You know, Glenn Milburn was around, Leon Johnson, Bobby Wade even early on. You had Jerry Azuma for a while. And then there's Devin Hester. And now almost every opponent the Bears face, there's someone special back there returning punts or kicks.
Yeah, I think what they saw is that he can put points or the return game can change a game. And, you know, Devin, you know, Brian Mitchell did that before with the Eagles and wherever he played at a bunch of different places. But Devin changed the game. And I think people have been wanting that to add to their arsenal, and they're trying to do that.
The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner to the Bears All Access Show. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. A week ago, Henry Melton sitting where Pat's sitting right now here inside the Muggs Hallis Auditorium. The whole thing was filled with toppings. He was eating and eating and eating, and I think he had a pretty good game. Did he not grade out well?
Yeah, he did. He did.
So I'm telling you, there's pizza over there. Corey, go to town. Might help.
Where is it?
Where is this?
It's back there. Oh. We'll get it. Don't worry. Both of them flipped their heads. We got it. We got our producer, G Money. Are you hoarding the pizza? Maybe put it down.
He already
we'll get
ate
it back
it all.
Up here. This is Bears All Access in front of our guests from the University of Phoenix and friends, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Kane is in the building.
Support the 24th annual Chicago Bears and Jewel Osco Coat Drive by donating winter coats through December 16th at Jewel Osco stores in the Chicagoland area. Coats will benefit the Salvation Army and public schools in Chicago. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more information. Coming to you live from the George Muggs Hallis Auditorium in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, featuring defensive end Corey Wooten and Captain Patrick Manley. Now, I found out something, Corey, you're going to like this. Found out something about Patrick Manley that I did not know before today. Back, and this is going to, it's a wow kind of thing. So he went to high school in Georgia. His senior year in high school, I found out he was the offensive lineman of the year in the state of Georgia. You know who's number two? Jeff Saturday, the longtime Colts center who's now in Green Bay. So Manley goes to Duke. Saturday ends up going to North Carolina. They continue. Were you rivals in high school?
Not really. No, we never played them, but we knew. Like, you know how it is. You're kind of rivals against the other players at the position you play. So we never played each other, but, yeah, we always read the newspaper how their teams are doing and stuff like that.
Right. So then they in college, though, you're Duke, you're North Carolina. It's ugly, you know. And
very ugly on our end.
Yeah. And then Patrick Manley gets drafted. Saturday does not. Did you get drafted as a lineman or a specialist?
A specialist, but I had the capability of possibly playing O-line, but that ended shortly.
Yeah, so Saturday, we'll get to that in a second. So Saturday ends up going to the Ravens he started out, but never played, then goes to the Colts. The rest is history.
He made Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he certainly did. He helps him with all those checks, and you know, now he's making Aaron Rodgers. It's funny how that goes. The funniest story about Manley, that when you first became a Bear, this was under Wanstead, right? So
yes.
you would it's a while ago, and you would actually participate in the offensive line drills.
Yeah, my first 3 years, I did all the practicing, everything. Did the individual drills, the full practice, scout team, everything, yeah.
But you never played on the offensive line.
Thank God, no.
Yeah, so
no.
you ended up being maybe the best long snapper in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But the point is, you were you established yourself as a high echelon long snapper. Then Dick Geron one day said,
I got hurt in a goal line drill in Platteville and sprained my ankle. And I was sitting in the training room and had my ankle propped up and ice on it. And he came over and tapped me on the leg. And he said, as long as I'm the head coach here, no more contact drills for you. And I started to rejoice inside, but didn't try not to show it outwardly.
That's what
and so from then on, I never had to do like live 9-on-7 drills or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I would for the next two or three years, I think if we had to wear shells, you know, like the light padding, I did O-line stuff and scout team, but I never had to go back and do the goal line drills or 9-on-7 live run blocking.
Now, wasn't there a part of you, the football player in you, not the long snapper in you, but the football player in you, was there a sense of pride, like, the guy's telling me I'm not good enough to play on this line?
I kind of figured that out after about the first mini camp I was here. It's a different animal. I mean, they're just bigger, stronger, faster, and, you know, fortunately I had the skill set I have in long snapping, and I took a lot of pride in it and was able to, you know, earn a job with that. And I figured, you know, after Coach Duran said no more O-line for you, that, it, you know, maybe this could turn into a longer career.
All right, give us the first moment. You're going up against a D lineman. Who was it at the NFL level, and how did it go for you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it was okay because it's practice, so it's not a full speed. You're not worried that the quarterback's going to get his head taken off. It went okay. I don't think I got completely embarrassed. I think I held my own somewhat. But I just knew in the drills and all that kind of stuff, and going against a starting nose tackle, I was like, this ain't happening.
You know, I just got a text message from one of your teammates, a prominent member of the Chicago Bears locker room. Not going to mention his name, but he said, you know, since Corey Wooten is here and he's a defensive lineman, you know, why not demonstrate in front of this live audience if you can block Corey Wooten? And oh man, I think you know who it is.
Yeah, I got one guess. Yeah. I'll see him later tonight.
And you can give him the treatment.
Wise now, guy.
Yeah. I think Corey knows who he is. Yeah.
All right, now
he had to get on the show somehow. That's what he's doing. That's all he's doing. He couldn't get away from the limelight.
And I did not mention his name on the air. So now here's the thing that I want to know: is at what point did the long snapping thing become a passion of, because it has to be a passion for you to excel at it.
I had a brother that was 5 years older that played football at Notre Dame, and I was in seventh grade going into eighth grade, and our front yard, we were working on it. He came back from summer school his freshman year, and we were working on it, and from him I learned the importance of it because he wanted to learn how to do it to try to get on the field sooner at Notre Dame. And from that I learned that, you know, it's an important position, and I took more pride in it as the next year I went out for football, and each year I just took more pride in it. And honestly, there was another guy on our high school team that was pretty good at it, so I had to excel at it and try to get better to beat him out.
How do you do it?
I describe it. If I work with a kid and teach him how to long snap, the first thing I do is I say, pick up a ball and throw me a ball. And if he can throw it like a quarterback, 9 times out of 10, I can teach him to bend over and snap it between his legs.
Really?
Yeah.
So obviously you're pretty good throwing the ball.
That's the big skill set, yeah.
Are you the emergency quarterback?
No.
just making sure. So then you have – but how do you do it? If you can throw the ball like a quarterback, I'm talking about the motion, the spiral, the whole thing. It seems to me like a completely different motion.
Okay, it's a different motion, but the feeling of the ball coming off your hands and releasing the ball.
Where do you hold the ball?
Just like a quarterback. Your left hand – okay, I call it a dominant hand or your guide hand. So I'm right-handed. My dominant hand's my right hand. So I hold it like a quarterback like that. And the ball, when I bend over, throw it between my legs, it has to come off my fingertips just like, say, Jay Cutler does when he throws the ball down the field. So it's not the exact same motion, obviously, but it's the same feeling to get the spiral to get back to the punter.
Now, how fast can you fire the ball?
Not as fast as I used to.
At your peak?
I'm getting older. Well, I don't know.
Again,
we never
said
put,
you're old. I do.
Yeah, we never put a – I mean, I guess time-wise, the guys in the NFL will go anywhere from – and we snap from 13 to 15 yards. They'll be anywhere between 0.72 to 0.08 or 0.80, excuse me. Yeah.
Wow, that's quick. Oh, it's really a quick release.
Oh, yeah.
How bored are you right now, Corey, listening to a long snapping conversation?
I'm not bored at all.
Right. He's just thinking
I wish I could long snap.
Make your life easier, wouldn't it? But, you know, they pay the big bucks, not just to long snappers, but guys who sack the quarterback.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think keep doing what you're doing. Now, he has a – you know, he's got a website. Do you still keep it up to date?
I don't as much anymore because I put it out there as a website called longsnapper.com. I'll plug it. But it's
not updated.
Yeah, but it's not updated. But no, but what it is, I put it out there just to have the information so kids, if they surf the web, they can figure out how to long snap. So I don't really need to update it because the form and all that stuff doesn't change. So every day, I mean, I get different hits, but you guys can go on there and just read how to long snap.
Have you ever seen a fan wear a 65 jersey?
Besides my daughter, no. No, there's not many.
But you do get a lot of questions from kids, like when you meet them.
I do,
they figure out who you are.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
See, that's pretty cool. I'm sure more people want to know how Corey Wooten has a swim move to kind of get after
the
quarterback.
You should see Corey do the robot.
Well, we will get to that next. Thankfully, it's radio. This is Bears All Access. When we come back, guys, the most popular segment of the show, that's next, coming to you live from the George Muggs Hallis Auditorium in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix with Corey Wooten and Patrick Manley. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Man, I just heard something that, you talk about rocking the foundation. Now I feel old.
Okay.
I just found out Corey Wooten and Patrick Manley are guests here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from Hallis Hall in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix. So, Manley's first year with the Bears, 1998, and Wooten goes, I think I was in the sixth grade back then. Boy, that's, I mean...
Yeah, it's crazy because I look. Well, I guess that would, yeah. So I look at my daughter; she's almost seven. So when I started playing, like guys would have been my daughter's age. Yeah.
Who were the veterans back then?
Big Cat Williams, Jim Flanagan, Eric Kramer, Mike Wells was one of our defensive tackles. Was kind of up there in years.
Man, so you really spanned the whole era from one good quarterback to the next good quarterback.
And a lot of other quarterbacks
in the middle. Oh, man, you've seen a lot of guys. All right, so watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Subway, Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, and Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So Shane McClellan really is a baby compared to you.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, because he's a baby compared to Wooten, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean, he's young. I mean, this guy, three-year veteran, right? I mean, you know the works. All right, you guys ready for this?
Let's go.
It's our most popular segment on the show. We call it Are You a Bears Authority? Now, Corey has won the last couple of times he's played this game, but now you're taking on a man who has worn the Bear uniform longer than Walter Payton, Dick Butkus.
Yeah, but I got slow reflexes.
Mike Singletary. I mean,
he's just being modest about that. Yeah, I've seen his reflexes.
Hey, you can't be a long snapper for 37 years in the NFL not have quick reflexes, right?
Yeah, it's been a good run.
Yes. All right, here we go. So it's called Are You a Bears Authority? It's brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, just hit the buzzer in front of you. It goes something like this. It's real simple. There's a light and a sound that you'll hear on the radio, a light that everyone here will see. I will call on that person. If you get the answer right, we move on to the next question. If you don't get the answer right, the other player has an opportunity to answer the question. Whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Patrick, you're going to be playing for Wayne Hine from Pontiac, Illinois, and Corey, you're playing for Bob Campbell of Lockport, Illinois. So if you're listening right now and you want to sign up for a future game, just go to chicagobears.com/CBN, click on the Bears All Access page. You can also listen to all of our old shows on that page. You guys ready? It's about to get heated. You have a Northwestern grad. You have a Duke grad. Both Bears. They're both maybe the two smartest guys in the locker room. There are a few other guys in the running, but this is going to be big time right here. Question one, what position did Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier play? Pat.
Cornerback.
Correct. That was, he was part of the Bears defense in Super Bowl 20. Very impressive. All right, question two. He was not a Bear back then. Actually, the Leslie Frazier was
a teammate.
Bear.
Oh, man.
I got some stories about him.
What was the fridge like? Question two. This is a multiple choice question. Julius Peppers was drafted in the first round of the 2002 draft. What number pick was he?
Second overall.
Correct. Someone has been studying his teammates in the Rushman
room. They're in the same room.
And Julius is almost as old as Pat. He joined the league in 2002, was a standout player at North Carolina, both football and basketball, right?
Yeah, he was excellent, yeah.
What was Duke basketball like for a football player at Duke?
We were sat in a huge, giant shadow of a big juggernaut of a team. No, but it was cool to see those guys and watch those guys play. Coach K, it's the program they have down there is unbelievable.
But Duke has improved, too, from a football standpoint, so much so that Peyton Manning, when he was going through the recovery, went to Duke as the head coach there.
Yeah, David Cutcliffe was his offensive coordinator at Tennessee, and I believe he and Eli went down there when Peyton was rehabbing and spent a lot of time with our guys.
So you knew about it?
Yeah.
You knew about the secret workouts.
I did.
And you didn't tell anybody.
Nope. That's why they're secret.
Man, it's a good thing you had. If Jay Cutler wasn't a Bear, and you knew that Peyton Manning, would you have immediately told everybody in this building, you got to sign the guy? Were the reports positive?
Yeah, but I don't want to touch that. That's too much of a hypothetical. I like Jay.
Obviously. I mean, thankfully you have a quarterback.
No, yeah. I know.
All right, question number three. By the way, game tied at one now between Corey and Patrick. Question number three. Where did Matt Forte play his college?
Tulane.
Corey gets it right. Boy, he's not messing around.
Oh, yeah, slow reflexes.
He does have fast reflexes. All right, that's how he gets after the quarterback. All right, question four. Corey's got a 2-1 lead over Manley. Question four. Name the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster whose last name begins with the letter I.
Edanaje.
Okay, we have. I got to go to the judge here because Corey's buzzer went off, but Patrick hit his first. And Greg Miller, our producer, telling us, give it to Patrick. So, hey, take it up with him. But we have this a live audience here. By a show of applause, who hit the buzzer first? Patrick?
What?
Yeah, hey, we have witnesses. Game tied at two. Question number five. And if you have a problem, again, you guys can go back to the offensive line, defensive line drill. Question five. Name the three tight ends on the Bears' current. Go ahead, Corey.
Kyle Adams.
That's one.
Kellen Davis.
That's two.
Matt Spaeth.
Correct. Wow. This is getting really, really interesting. It's a 3-2 lead for Corey Wooten over Patrick Manley, which means right now, Bob Campbell of Lockport is celebrating, just hoping that Corey gets one more right and he gets to go to Sports Authority with the fancy gift certificate. But don't worry, Wayne. Patrick's got the knowledge of experience. All right, here we go. Question number six. Who's the only player on the Bears' current roster that went to school at Notre Dame?
Armando Allen.
Corey Wooten.
Congratulations,
has
you
beaten
win.
The legendary Patrick Manley in Are You a Bears Authority?
Woo! Corey paid me off.
So, you guys, just for pride, do you
he
want
to? He gave me his $100 gift card to Gibson's. And it was worth it.
Congratulations to Bob Campbell of Lockport, courtesy of Corey Wooten. You're going to Sports Authority with the gift certificate. Do you want to just try question number seven for shoots and giggles?
Yeah, sure.
All right, question number seven. What college did Bears linebacker Geno Hayes play his ball?
Florida State.
Correct, Patrick.
I'll let him get that one.
Yeah.
I'll give you half the gift card.
Oh, man. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some real football. We'll get to the defense and the offensive side of things with Corey Wooten and Patrick Manley on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from Hallis Hall in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, rolls on live inside Hallis Hall with our friends from the University of Phoenix, also joined by Patrick Manley, the Bears long snapper since 1998, and starting defensive end Corey Wooten. I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you with us. Want to remind you that Bears Insider, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and Bears head coach Lovie Smith, airs Monday nights at 7 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So, I want to talk a little bit about Brian Urlacher because everyone knows what he's meant to the Bears in terms of the great play on the field. And even though this season, you know, the athleticism isn't what it once was, still out there, very effective, making plays. And as a guy, Corey, who's on this defense, can you kind of put into words the things that we don't see? If you watch him on TV, you see just one aspect of Urlacher. But being out there with him on the sidelines, in practice, during a game, this guy does so much to help make that defense good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just his leadership out there, you know. He's always helping people out, you know, whether it's a check or a call, just making sure we're all on the same page. And just, you know, what he does as far as that goes is just unbelievable. And, you know, talented player, you know, probably go down as one of the, you know, best linebackers to ever play the game. So it's great playing with a guy like that. But a lot of people don't know him off the field. Like, such a nice guy, you know, probably one of the nicest guys in our locker room. You know, anything you need, you know, help you out with. And, you know, it's just a guy that's that famous, you know, just how nice of a person he is just unbelievable.
Does he play with quarterbacks right before the snap? Can you sense that you know, we often see Peyton Manning doing whatever he does at the line, and they call it dummy calls and all that kind of stuff. Urlacher does the same thing to quarterbacks if they're not experienced.
Oh, definitely. You know, just how smart he is and being able to know where a play is going. You know, sometimes when I'm out there, he'll be like, oh, watch the boot, and it's a boot. You know, most of the time when he calls out the play, it's the play they're going to run. And it's just, you know, his knowledge over these years and just everything that he's done is just incredible.
And that's something, you know, I was talking to Nick Roach about this, and Nick knows the defense. I mean, you know Nick well. He's one of the smartest guys on the team, understands everything in terms of where everyone has to be. But the thing that Urlacher has, instincts and just from experience, he's seen every single way an offense based on a certain game situation is willing to attack the Bears' defense.
Oh, definitely. You know, just his, like you were saying, he knows things before it's even going to happen, and it's just unbelievable.
You don't have to think if you're another player, and he knows where everyone else has to be.
And I definitely think that's one of the reasons why he's been so successful. Not only, you know, is he a tremendous athlete and, you know, strength and all that, but just how smart he is. You know, that separates a lot of people.
With Corey Wooten and Patrick Manley, and Patrick, you have the unique perspective of when you came here, the leaders in the locker room were, what, Eric Kramer and Barry Minter and James Big Cat Williams. To go from that, then the Olin Krutz era, and now this is Brian Urlacher's team.
Olin talked about it, too. It was Olin's locker room, but it was Brian Urlacher's team. And it always has been Brian's team, and Olin will admit it, that it's just he's the guy that everybody looked to how to play, how to be, how to act. And he was just the pulse of our team. He always has been.
And so what's the difference between this being that guy's team and then the guy being the undisputed leader of the team?
How do you mean? Like,
because that's what they would always say about Olin. He was the undisputed leader.
Right, yes. I think just this, the so-called superstardom of Brian and just the way he treated people, the way he interacted with teammates, to if you asked for an autograph, to talking to the mail guy, to whoever it was, that he just – Like Corey says, a humble guy. He's just who he is and who people have built him up to be as a superstar in this, you know, whatever. He's not that. He's just this humble, everyday guy. And we see that and respect that. And I think that's the big thing is just the respect that he gets from his teammates.
Whose team is it now? It's Brian Urlacher's team. And then who are the leaders of the Bears? Is it just the captains?
No, I think that's what's cool about our team is that the offense and defense get along so well that – you don't have to have somebody kind of barking at somebody or getting everybody in line. There's no rifts anywhere. There's no problems. There's no practice fights. There's, you know, you might have them in training camp just because you get heated and sick of hitting the same guy. But, you know, I've been in other locker rooms where guys, you know, maybe the offensive and defensive line didn't like each other so much, or just guys or little factions didn't like each other. And this one, and it's been this way the past few years, it's not that way. So I don't think you need that guy as much to get in there and coach up a locker room of how to act and, you know, behave and stuff like that.
Because if there was a time where that old-time stuff would occur here, it would be during this last month where, you know, you have some issues going on as the offense tries to find itself through injuries and all the different things going on. But that hasn't happened. And Brandon Marshall talked about this after the Seahawks game, that this would be a time to point fingers, but the Bears locker room doesn't do that.
And that starts with Lovey. I mean, we talked about Brian being a leader, but that all starts with Lovey. I mean, we're sitting here in the team meeting room, and he gets up here every week and talks to us and gives us a message and who we are and all that kind of stuff, and that starts with him.
You know, the thing that I always respect about Lovey Smith, in the NFL, you get trained. Offense has to score points. Defense, stop the other team from scoring. It's not Lovey Smith's rules. I mean, yes, the offense has to do its part, but defensively, when you guys are on the field, Corey, Lovey likes to say the offense has no right to keep the football. You can take it away from the opposing offense.
Oh, definitely. You know, a big thing for our defense is creating turnovers. You know, and early on in the year, I thought we did a great job. You know, these past couple of weeks, we haven't been able to get as many turnovers. So, and I think we just need to get back to that mindset, getting the ball out and, you know, really getting to the ball.
You know, the thing that people would say early on in the year during the first eight games when the Bears scored 8 non-offensive touchdowns, people would say, well, what's going to happen? Eventually, defense isn't going to score. What happens during those moments? And you guys are not accepting that. I mean, clearly the performance hasn't, even though you're number 2 in fewest points per game allowed, there's pressure to put the ball in the end zone as a defense.
Oh, definitely. You know, that's one of our goals. Coach always says, you know, anytime there's a incomplete pass, to pick it up and then run like we're going to score. So that constant mindset has been able to help us this season.
Corey Wooten is here. Patrick Manley is as well. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, inside Hallis Hall with our friends from the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is like a trip down memory lane with long snapper Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear in the history of the organization, and starting defensive end Corey Wooten. I'm Zach Sabin. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of our live audience here at Hallis Hall, featuring our friends from the University of Phoenix. Ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered during the Bears Game Night live TV broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you will receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card, so use the hashtag BearsToyota. When Patrick Manley joined the Bears in 1998, Michael Jordan was at the tail end of his Bulls career. That gives you an idea of the bridge that he's built. And you actually knew Walter Payton?
Yeah, well, I met him. I mean, we weren't buddies, but yeah, but I did get the wish. I mean, that guy, it was an honor to meet him, but it's a pretty cool story. We were back when we used to go up to La Crosse and we scrimmaged the Saints,
yeah,
and Coach Dicka was the coach there. Before cell phones, before I had a cell phone, I was sitting in a phone booth cubicle in the dining hall there. And my back was turned, and I'm talking to my wife, and all of a sudden I feel this guy grab me on the shoulder, and everybody's heard about Walter Payton's handshake, and he physically just kind of mess with people, and he pinched my neck, and I turned around and I said, "What the?" And all of a sudden he's standing above me, and I'm like, "Oh." He's like, "Hey, how you doing? I just want to introduce myself. I'm Walter Payton. I wanted to meet all the guys, you know, the new guys or whatever." And I'm just in shock. I was like, "Hey, nice to meet you, Mr. Payton." And I turn around. My wife was like, "Who's that?" on the phone. She said, "Who's that?" And I'm like, "It's Walter Payton." She goes, "Who's that again?" I said, "I'm going to hang up the phone, and I'm not going to call you back. You have to do some research. You got to find out who that is."
Yeah, it's easy today with Google.
Back then she had to get, yeah. So I hung up the phone on her, and then I think I called her back the next day. She's like, "Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. I totally forget." Yeah, that's the greatest Bear, probably the greatest Bear, obviously the greatest Bear ever. But that's my Walter Payton story. So it was pretty cool to meet the man.
And years from now, Corey Wooten is going to be telling the young pups that come into the Bears locker room, "Hey, I got to play with Julius Peppers and Brian Urlacher."
Yep.
Did they mess around with you when you were a rookie?
No. They've been good ever since I came in here, you know, with open arms. They welcomed me, and it's just been...
Now, are you just saying that because you're on the radio and you don't want to embarrass them?
Not at all. You know, I mean, I think Henry Melton's giving me a harder time than any of those guys, you know?
See, I'm guessing that's changed dramatically in the league from the time that you entered in 98, because they were relentless back then.
Yeah, I still have some. I brought up the name Mike Wells earlier. He was pretty tough on me, and there were days that I didn't want to come to work just because he was pretty ruthless on me. But that was just the culture and the way it was back then.
Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz, brought to you by Jimmy John's, is your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. What is the funniest story in terms, I don't want to call it hazing, but, you know, the veterans kind of giving rookies the treatment? You don't have to mention names. You can if you want to, but you've seen a lot over the years that you've been a Bear.
I got a good one. I got reminded of one from a certain player that's on our team now, and I'll bring up the other name. The other name was Ted Washington, was the the person that did it to this person. Well, okay, the younger person at the time was acting up and not respecting the elders, like I guess he should or whatnot.
In the locker room?
In the locker room. And this is at training camp, and he made him get in the laundry bucket. And Ted got behind the laundry bucket and pushed him around.
Was there stuff in the laundry bucket?
No, it was nothing in the laundry bucket. Made him sit in the laundry bucket like he was driving a car and make car sounds while he pushed him around.
Oh, no.
So he just embarrassed the heck out of them.
Please tell me it was a specialist that got the treatment. Was this a position player?
It's somebody on our team now, but I'm not going to bring up the name. But
someone on the team
now.
Oh. Yeah, do not bring up the name of the guy. But that's pretty impressive. Like a kid making car sounds?
Yes, making car. It was hysterical. Made him make car sounds like a kid.
See, back then they didn't have cell phones either.
Honk, honk, and, you know, put his hand up for the blinker.
See, today you guys couldn't do it because didn't someone on the Giants, their punter, that happened.
Too many cell phones.
Yeah, see, now you can't get away with that. Immediately with the social networking and stuff, you can never get away with that kind of stuff today. Corey's lucky. He lives in an easy era.
It's easier.
Look, he's just smiling. He's not saying. You know the story. You know the guy on the other end, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Corey Wooten, maybe he'll tell us when we get off the air. Patrick Manley, Corey Wooten, thank you so much. Our friends from the University of Phoenix, thank you so much for coming here to Halas Hall. For Greg Miller, Paul Zarango, up was blast through the speakers of your radio. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Sports Authority and has been sponsored by Toyota and Verizon.